Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, select verses from the 12th chapter. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. If someone were to look at your lifetime and select 35 of the most important incidents in your life, what might they be? 35 of the most important incidents of your life. Out of the 35 stories or incidents that we see in the Gospel of John, for some reason the Holy Spirit decided to select this story that I just read. This little incident that takes place in someone's home in the little town of Bethany, not far from Jerusalem, and to include that in his gospel, right before we get to the passion history of Jesus. It's a very interesting little story and scene, and this is taking place the night before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and as I said, the town of Bethany was just a little village not far from Jerusalem. Jesus, we know, often frequented the home there of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was kind of his, I remember one of my prophets used to say, it was kind of his little getaway place to maybe relax at times, and the home of these faithful believers. And Mary now comes and takes this very costly ointment called a spikenard and anoints Jesus with it. And fills the smell fills the house. It's about 1 year's income, according to Judas's assessment. Think of that, 1 year's income to buy and pay for all of this. It's a very expensive plant that it comes from. They're found way up in the mountains, apparently, of China, Nepal, and India. And some speculate, had she possibly purchased this for her brother's death? We don't know. But Jesus points out that this was all being done toward his future burial. There's an interesting comment by an old professor from Oxford, Dr. Alfred Adersheim. He says this, "The wonderful light of Mary's gift sheds even a darker shadow on the greedy treason of Judas." And that's really quite a contrast here, isn't it? Judas, John notes that Judas, think of this, he's sitting right near Lazarus, possibly right across the table from him, the very one that Christ has risen back to life from the dead. Think of all the miracles that Judas in his life with Christ in the 3 years he spent with him in his ministry, all the miracles that he saw our Lord do. And still, and listening to Jesus talk to him probably on a daily basis and teach him, still his mind wanders back to his greed and his love of money and all the cares about this life. And it shows something about us. Even those of us, like those who sit here today and those who preach, we're around God's word on a daily basis. God be praised for that. But our hearts still can gravitate back toward the things of this world and all the stuff that we can maybe get in this life. And it's easy for me to kind of shake my head at Judas for how he looks at everything here, but that same thinking can be in my heart too. Judas evaluates this Mary's gift from the perspective of kind of a fiscal responsibility. It's kind of like, well, how silly to spend all of this type of money on something like this. And it's interesting that he not only thinks that way, but he thinks it's important enough to share this with everybody and says what's on his mind about it, as if everybody's going to kind of agree with that assessment. But it's easy for us as well to sometimes look at the things of Christ and his kingdom and maybe wonder, you know, what's all the fuss about? How does my spending so much of my time and things in my life, and maybe even the offerings that I give to the church and so on, how does that really benefit me? So Judas looks at the approaching death of Christ, and his hatred for Christ grows. Mary looks at the approaching death of Christ, and her love for him grows. And that's exactly right there in these two people, the way the church and the world are contrasted with each other. They're each looking at Christ from a completely different point of view. And by God's grace, those who have been brought to faith in the Savior can look through all of the things that might seem meaningless from the world's perspective about our faith and see what a treasure they truly are. She sees what a precious act her Lord is going to be performing just during that week. St. Paul says it so well. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, if you've been blessed to be part of the Christian church and be taught and understand the importance of his kingdom and all the things about your Savior, that's a wonderful gift that God's given you. But don't be surprised just how ridiculous the world sees all of this. Don't be fooled by that. Humble faith in Christ recognizes the relevance of our Savior and what he's come to do, and especially the great sacrifice that he's come to give for us. And so we think of Mary, the one who sat listening so attentively at Jesus' feet and paying such attention to him. The benefits of that type of introspective devotion to the Word of Christ, the benefit in her heart, what a blessing that is. Many years ago, when I was a much younger pastor, I went to a nursing home to visit a woman who had just now entered a nursing home. She was one of my shut-ins. I don't think, her name was Stella. I don't think she had more than an eighth grade education, but just a wonderful Christian woman, humble faith. And as I came into her room that day, she had now just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she knew that this was probably going to be the way her life would suddenly start to end. And as I came into her room that day, right above her bed was a crucifix about 7 or 8 inches, and she had taped it to the wall with about 40 pieces of tape. And I said, "Stella, I like your cross. What is that for?" And she says, "Oh, I know I'm going to start forgetting things. I don't want to forget Jesus." I just thought how the world probably, and maybe even some of the people that worked there, probably thought, what a silly thing to tape on the wall. But from God's perspective, what a treasure. From the Lord's perspective, how differently he looks at that humble faith that just loves and appreciates what he's done. When you, by faith, come to truly understand the significance of the atonement of Christ and how necessary it was for you and me to have our sins completely wiped away before God, and if you have come to taste the mercy and grace of God towards sinners like us, and by faith now know and understand what that means for us, there's no dollar amount that you can come up with that can be put in the balance to show how significant that is. Where Christ is to be found, faith looks and says, "This is the gate of heaven," just like Jacob said. "This is now the pearl of great price. This is the treasure that's buried in the field. This is the one thing needful." Notice how often Jesus praises the gifts of his humble believers. And our Lord certainly understands the need for good stewardship as well. And he's the one as the giver of all gifts. But from heaven's economic system, our Lord sees Mary's gift as such a beautiful and wonderful gesture. And I love how he turns to Judas and says, "Let her alone. Leave her alone." From your perspective, you may think this is silly, but I think this is wonderful. Leave her alone. That's how our Lord defends those who have been brought to faith in him. The world may mock you and jeer at you for your devotion to Christ, but your Savior shows such tremendous appreciation for it. And he says, "He who confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven." Amen. Please rise. If you would, please turn in your hymn book to page 154 in the front portion, 154. We will use collect or prayer number 54 on page 154, the collect for the Monday of Holy Week. Please join me. Almighty and everlasting God, grant us your grace so to pass through this holy time of our Lord's Passion that we may obtain the pardon of our sin. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.